Next up is Dark Wolf with what is quite possibly the worst crossover fanfic ever, with the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Godspeed, man. Godspeed.
My name is Angelia Patterson, and I hate writing these disclaimers. Don't you? I hate it! Anyway, you know the guys all belong to themselves, and Angelia is mine. And so is Taniella, except she's really my best friend Tanelia, so I guess she belongs to her. Anyway, for here is my story. I hope you like it. It's my first, so please be kind.
Chapter 1. Angelia Gabriel Patterson got out of her car. She was in Orlando at last. She had been wanting to move here all her life, and now she was here. Even though she was only 18, her parents had said it was okay and bought her a big house to live in. She liked her brand new 2001 lime green Volkswagen Beetle, just like the one in the Mandy Moore video that was so cool, because even though she was in a secure neighborhood, she still didn't feel safe. Just then, a guy came jogging by and Angelia gasped when she saw who it was.
Oh my god! Oh my god! That's Nick Carter! I live on the same street as Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys!
She was so happy. Chapter 2. The next day when she went to the store to get some food, she was pushing her shopping cart down the aisle when she accidentally bumped into someone.
Oh my god, I'm sorry,
she said. It's okay, the guy smiled at her. Are you new in town?
Yeah, I am. My name's Angelia Gabriel Patterson.
Angelia looked at the guy and unconsciously ran a hand through her thick, naturally curly auburn hair and blinked her beautiful violet eyes at him. He looked kind of familiar with his blonde, curly hair and blue eyes.
Wait a minute. You look familiar. Do I know you?
Yeah, you might have seen me on TV. I'm Justin Timberlake.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Angelia jumped up and down and screamed. Justin just thought it was funny because he got that reaction all the time. So he just laughed. He thought she was really cute because she had a size 2 waist and she dressed really hot in a stylish halter with ties across the back, perfect makeup, and she was even wearing NSYNC lip gloss. And she had hot hip-hugger black pants on with platform Skechers on her feet. So he asked her if she wanted to go out sometime, and she said yes because she's not stupid. Duh. Justin gives Angelia his phone number and tells her,
"You can call me anytime."
Okay,
Angelia says as she blushes and pushes the cart away. Before she goes, Justin gives her a look with his eyes that says, "I want you so bad." Chapter 3. When Angelia got home, her phone was ringing. Not her cell phone or pager, but her other phone. She picks it up and there was heavy breathing on the other line.
Hello? Hello?
Nobody answers. She hangs it up and shivers. She called her best friend, Taniella, who they've known each other since they were babies, and they've been best friends forever. And I forgot to mention the reason Angelia moved to Orlando was because she and Taniella were friends when they were little, and Tani's parents made her move with them to Florida. Tani came over and they made dinner, and Taniella was envious of Angelia because she was going out on a date with Justin Timberlake. That night, Justin called her and they went out to a movie. Even though she had seen it already, she was happy to see it again because he kissed her during the romantic part. The other girls in the theater gave her mean looks as she walked out with him holding hands. But she just doesn't care because Justin loves her. Justin took her home and the bodyguard Mike waited while Justin gave Angelia a goodnight kiss and promised he'd call her in the morning. Chapter 4. The next day someone knocked on Angelia's door. She opened it and saw Chris Kirkpatrick. He jumps crazily into the room and gave her a hug.
Hi, sis!
Hi, bro!
She laughed and laughed and laughed.
I didn't think you would be back until tomorrow!
We got back early and I just had to come see you. Look, I brought Buster and Korea. Aren't they cute?
They sure are. Now come in and guess what?
What?
Chris asked as he jumped around like a mental case.
I met Justin at the store and we went out on a date last night.
Chris gave Angelia a funny look.
Why are you looking at me like that, Chris? We didn't do anything except he kissed me, but it was really sweet.
Don't you have a boyfriend?
Chris asked.
We broke up when I moved here,
Angelia said.
Since it's so far away from Pittsburgh where I used to live, we figured it was for the best. He's okay with it, except...
Angelia thought about that phone call she had got the other night and started to get scared.
It's okay, I'm here to protect you,
Chris said, taking Angelia into a strong, protective, brotherly hug. Just then, Justin busted into the room and saw them sitting together and...
Okay, that's it for now. Please send me feedback or on fanfiction.net R&R. Please! And let me know what you think. If I don't get any feedback or reviews, I won't let you see the next part!
So, go ahead.
I think as much as I loved your author's note, or notes rather, you might have been making fun of her a little too much.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with your intro in that voice. It was funny, but I don't think it was a great choice.
Yeah, it was hilarious, but again, I don't think she thinks she sounds like that. I think you should have played her a little less stupid teenager. Anyway,
Hot hip hugger black pants trick or treat. She's not stupid.
Duh.
Okay, go ahead.
The sudden change from, yeah, so we're talking like this, to your deep, manly voice was a complete mindfuck. And then I love how you read the descriptions because it sounded like you were actually interested in this. And I think this is something that the others have been sort of failing at, especially in comparison. Ethically. I mean, I was actually interested to hear about this girl's clothing. I don't remember anything, of course, but like... My god, DW.
Hot hip hugger black pants.
My god, you actually made me interested.
The Mandy Moore video part was really, like, you were really into the Mandy Moore video.
Yeah, like, I loved your enthusiasm in this. This is what I was really hoping for this week, is that people would sound like they were actually interested in this crap. And I know you, of all people, the least likely to be interested in this shit. And then
he faked it well.
Yeah. I don't know why. One of my favorite lines in this is not her cell phone or her pager, but her other phone.
Her other phone. Maybe Dark was a secret NSYNC fangirl.
Maybe. I mean, I...
That could ruin him in the sports industry.
I can't think of much wrong with the actual read. Because, like, the speaky parts you had in the background during the party or whatever it was, I mean, they were funny.
He worked the word slag into it. Come on, that's brilliant.
Yeah. I think you should have sounded, like, a little more needy in your pleas. Like not just, please!
Oh, gosh, Christy, no, don't do that.
I think don't instead of doing it to be annoying, you should have done it something like, please, or something. I know that was also annoying, but...
They're both equally grating and annoying as far as
I'm but, like, I don't know. It didn't sound like you actually wanted people to review your writing. I'm done. I'm seriously grasping for straws here.
Okay. Okay, from a mixing standpoint, which again, this is not a mixing competition, but whenever somebody from either Backstreet Boys or NSYNC would make an appearance, then all of a sudden their music would cue up, which I thought was really funny. Because, like, every time you would, like, when you mentioned Nick Carter, all of a sudden Backstreet Boy music came in. That was really funny to me. Also, the fact that you know that Chris Kirkpatrick is an NSYNC and not Backstreet Boys, so you cued NSYNC music, I think you're an NSYNC fangirl, secretly.
I think he just did his homework.
Maybe this wasn't...
To have faith in Dark Wolf's manliness.
I'm an NSYNC and Backstreet Boys fangirl, so I don't know. I can't say anything.
You're a woman. We know this.
So maybe this wasn't the most professional reading ever, but going back to if I had paid $20 for a book on tape or something, I think if I had paid money for this out of any of them so far, I'd be the most happy with this. And I'd probably play it for everybody I knew. Because... It was professional sounding enough from a narration standpoint to be passable. Like, all the words were spoken clearly. The sound effects were really good. The one thing I noticed, there was a line where it said he promised he'd call her the next night, and you read it as he promised he'd call her the next morning. So, if this was like, you know, if you were reading a book on tape for a serious author, like, and you misread their words, they might get super pissed. Realistically, whoever's monitoring the recording system would probably just make you re-record it, but still, you heard the wrong words.
I do recall that there were tons of typos and such, but...
Well, this was not one of the typos, though. He gave Angelina a kiss, Angelia a kiss, a goodnight kiss, and promised he'd call her the next night.
I can see why he changed anyway, it, but yeah, that's a good point.
But that's not his choice to change it. If it was a conscious choice, he has no business changing the author's words.
That is true. Unless, of course, they're grammatically incorrect. Yeah, you're...
Mm-hmm. Right, but in this case, it wasn't. They weren't grammatical. Your Chris Kirkpatrick voice was really funny for some reason. I can just picture him talking like that. It was just really funny. I want to, like, say a lot of negative... Like, it wasn't professional... The fact that you put slag in the background, but it was just so entertaining. So it's like, I want to dislike it, but I can't. I can't do it. So, I'm done.
I have nothing I can add to this.
Okay, we're done.
Next up is Sonic Mega, with a, this actually isn't a crossover. This is Inuyasha. I believe. Straight Inuyasha. Written by our very own Autumn. So yeah. Enjoy! And cover your ears.
Author's notes.
I don't know why I'm so dang happy! This story is so depressing! Oh well, maybe it's just the fact that it's 1 AM and I'm really hypered up! Double upwards carrot! Anyway... I suppose I should just get straight to the story before I babble on and on about pure nothingness, which seems to be what I just happen to be doing right now. Okay, I'll stop. But first I have to say this one thing. Fish! Oh yeah, and yesterday I watched this really, really, really awesome show called Duel Masters! Maybe I just like stupid humor. I'll never know the truth. Then again, maybe you should just read the fan fiction.
Disclaimer.
Hi! My name is Autumn Strobel. The thing is, I don't own Inuyasha. Sometimes I cry myself to sleep at night because I do not own this beautifully animated classic. I can't stop thinking about it because I love you. Maybe I got a little carried away up there. Nervous face.
Hey. The name's Higurashi. Higurashi Kagome. I usually wouldn't do something like this, but... Hojo asked me to. Oh. Hojo is... a dear friend of mine. I wanted to say that, if there is a god out there, anywhere, please listen. I don't care if the name is Buddha, Susano, Amaterasu, or just simply God. If anyone cares, then hear my plea. Just let them go to a better place. I don't like being a bother, but I love them with all my being. I know it's funny, a simple 10-year-old girl saying this. But no matter what they did, I want them to be happy. My mother and father were. They just weren't very nice. But that's okay, because they only disrespected Soda and I. They were very greedy, too. We would always work so that they could get the money and buy bad things with it. I never quite understood. When my parents bought bad things, it would make them go crazy. I think the men they got it from were just evil. anyway. Mommy and Daddy would hurt me, and my little brother Soda. It's still all right, though. I think a few times, my father called the things they bought opium. Of course, they bought liquor, too. Because every time we bought the opium, we wouldn't have any money left. I'd rather not go into detail about that. Anyway, the other night, Mommy and Daddy took Soda to the hospital. They said it was because he fell down the stairs, the cops later told me. However, I knew the real truth. I was there. Daddy kept hitting him because he had been bad. He had tried to get some food from the kitchen, and they hated it when we did that. Mommy was holding Soda so that he wouldn't squirm so much. I was hiding outside, waiting for Soda to get back with the food. For tonight, it was his turn. From there, I heard his screams. I ran inside at the moment Daddy was hitting him, and I screamed. Daddy got surprised and jumped, accidentally giving Soda a full blow in the stomach. Soda fell to his knees, blood spurting from his mouth. I started crying and ran to his side, but Daddy threw me against the wall. Mommy stopped laughing and put down her bottle. Shit! Mommy told Daddy to get the car keys to our rundown pickup truck. Daddy threw Soda's bloody frail body over his shoulder, and they all ran out to the car. They got in and drove away, Daddy yelling back that they were going to the hospital. I tended my wounds with some bandages I had hidden in a mattress. Well, by midnight, they weren't back yet. I was worried for Soda, but eventually fell asleep, waking up several times throughout the night. At about 3 a.m, I got a phone call. Soda was dead. But not just him. So were my parents. On the way back from the hospital, they hit a semi. The truck rolled over, but it didn't burst into flames. You know, my parents would have lived. But their main cause of death was drug overdose. Soda had no chance. He had lost too much blood already. The police came to get me the next day. We drove a really long time, and I fell asleep. When I woke up, we were in Kyoto. I was going to stay with my Aunt Fujiko. She lived in Tokyo, but had been on vacation at the hot springs in Mount Fujisan. I felt so emotionless. I was usually quick to cry, but I just couldn't. My aunt tried to get me counseling, but I was too numb to pay attention. I had my own world, very safe. It was as if it didn't really happen. After the incident, everything changed. Even Oji-chan visited from Osaka. If only things had been different. Now, I don't think I can write anymore. My fingers are stiff as ice, cold as my heart. Hojo is waiting for me. I hope he never asks to read this. Things just aren't the same anymore. And they never will be.
There sat Kagome Higurashi, 20, reading aloud the documentary that she herself had written almost 10 years back. Inuyasha brought her head to his chest as she began to cry. Her sobs could be heard, echoing off the walls of the small room they sat in. The two had been reunited again. Look, I know it hurts, but you can't just act like these things never happened. Now, I want you to tell me everything.
Oh, Inuyasha.
author's final notes.
Well, that is all for this chapter, but right now I'm going to type my second chapter anyway. Oh, BTW, this is going to be a trio fanfiction, meaning it will only have three chapters and an epilogue. Upward Carrot, _, upwards Carrot, happy face. Hope you enjoy it. Please review! !!! 20! Or I'll eat you. Blushing face.